Today is FDOC, the first day of class for UNC students as the fall semester begins in Chapel Hill. Today, new students are lining up for that traditional sip at the Old Well. Yesterday, they were in the Smith Center for the annual new student convocation, where they heard from UNC Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz.
My goal is that you will always be proud to take that photo in front of the Old Well, whether as a student here over the next few years, or to come back and take that photo for many, many years as your alma mater. It's a magical place, and I hope that you come to love it as much as I do. You've earned your place here, and I know you're going to love your time here. So let's get out and see what you can do.
Students at the convocation also heard from a recent alum, UNC women's lacrosse star Katie Hogue, who gave this year's convocation address.
If you embrace your gifts, be courageous, positively impact those around you, be better than who you were yesterday, and do it all with gratitude, you will not only exist through college, you will flourish.
FDOC is not just a big day for students and the university, it's also a big day for the town of Chapel Hill, which always has a different energy when school's in session. Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger.
There's a lot of fun traditions, and then there's a lot more exuberance, as we say, when the students come back. But there's also a lot more people just wandering around trying to find things, and so we encourage the locals to be a patient and to help, you know, provide directional assistance when needed. But we're excited. We love having our students come back, and we love the energy that it brings. They also volunteer a lot in our community, and so that's very positive as well.
This year's incoming class includes 4,455 first-year students and 939 transfer students representing 95 North Carolina counties, 48 states, and 85 countries around the world. Nearly one in five will be the first in their families to earn a four-year degree. The return of students to campus is an annual tradition here in Chapel Hill, and town residents and volunteers come out every year to welcome them back. 97.9 The Hill's Madison Ward has more on Chapel Hill's Good Neighbor Initiative.
The Good Neighbor Initiative aims to make a difference in Chapel Hill by encouraging students to be a positive influence in the area and celebrate community living between students and non-student residents. The initiative was founded in 2004 by the Chapel Hill Police Department. Aaron Bockenheimer, the Executive Director of Off-Campus Student Life and Community Partnerships at UNC, said the group's purpose is to welcome students and introduce them to their neighbors to create a welcoming and inclusive environment.
They took some folks out into several of the near campus and downtown neighborhoods and knocked on some doors of some houses that over the previous few years had been sort of hot spots for things like loud noise, trash, parking issues. And there was a notice that students were changing in those houses, but the problems were staying similar year after year.
UNC student Sophie Dubois got involved with the Good Neighbor Initiative through the Jackson Center, an affordable housing nonprofit that does work in history preservation and community building within the historically Black neighborhoods in Chapel Hill. The focus of the Jackson Center is maintaining, capturing, sharing, and preserving history, and she said it's crucial for students to learn they're a part of a historically important community.
They're one of the partners that Aaron was mentioning, and answering to some concerns within the neighborhood about the relationship between long-term residents and the students moving in, and like Aaron said, sort of acting on those proactively by letting students know that, like, these long-term residents aren't their enemies. These long-term residents aren't mad that they're there. They just want people to know about the history of their neighborhood and why they should be treating this neighborhood with respect.
Bockenheimer added it's beneficial to introduce students and permanent residents to each other to improve their quality of living and overall living experience.
I think sometimes there's a misperception in both directions at times that students are a little wary of permanent neighbors and think that permanent neighbors don't want them there. And permanent neighbors are sometimes a little apprehensive of, oh, well, students are just here. They think they're going to live in a student neighborhood and party all the time, right?
Students can register a party they're hosting with the university or town. If they receive a noise complaint, they'll get a text asking to turn the volume down, rather than the police getting involved. Bockenheimer added Chapel Hill is more than just a college town. He said although students may see themselves as a temporary fixture to the neighborhood, they're not, because students will always reside in the area.
once students get that, they very much want to be a positive contributor to that legacy. They don't want to be the student that creates a problem.
Bockenheimer noted the group rarely sees repeat violations once talked to by the Good Neighbor Initiative. The program is hosting a community cookout at Hargrave Center in the Northside neighborhood on Wednesday, September 28th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. They'll offer free food, music, games, and entertainment. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Madison Ward.
Elsewhere on campus, Chancellor Guskowitz on Friday announced that sometime this year, the university will install a permanent memorial in the pit to honor James Cates, 22-year-old black man who was stabbed to death there by a white supremacist gang on November 21, 1970, outside an all-night dance at the Carolina Student Union that had been held in an attempt to improve race relations in Chapel Hill. Community members have put up makeshift memorials to Cates in the past, though they've been removed. Police came under fire in 1970 for failing to provide medical treatment that could have saved his life. And to this day, nobody has ever been arrested for Cates' murder, though the U.S. Justice Department reopened the case in April. Other UNC news, multiple outlets reporting the former chair of the UNC Board of Governors says he resigned in 2019 after getting pressure from state Senate leader Phil Berger to oust then-interim system president Bill Roper. Harry Smith talked about his closed-door meeting with Berger, first on a business podcast, then with the News and Observer. A spokesperson for Berger has denied Smith's claim. Smith resigned from the board in the fall of 2019. Roper was replaced by Peter Hans the following summer. Also on campus, more bad news for the UNC Medical Center, still under fire from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services after various procedural violations. Earlier this year, the center gave UNC a deadline to address several issues or risk losing its Medicare funding. UNC has done so, but now the NNO is reporting regulators found new violations relating to patient falls. University officials say UNC is set to submit a plan to correct those violations today. Up to Hillsboro now, where the town is about to get a big boost from $7 million in federal funding. $1 million to build a water pumping station, plus nearly $6 million to relocate an Eno River pumping station that's been repeatedly threatened by floods. Those two projects are part of $3.1 billion in federal funding for projects nationwide to shore up infrastructure against the impacts of climate change. Governor Roy Cooper was in Gastonia on Friday to announce the funding, along with FEMA and other federal officials. Speaking of Hillsboro's water supply, town officials say the water in Hillsboro is safe to drink despite some temporary discoloration seen at the end of last week. Officials say that was caused by higher than average sediment levels resulting from recent storm bursts and low flow in the Eno River. And in other Hillsboro water news, the town has just enacted new penalties for anyone caught tampering with water meters and fire hydrants, plus a fee for new developments connecting to the water and sewer system. You can read more about that on our website, chapelboro.com. Over to Raleigh now, where today marks the official end of North Carolina's COVID-related state of emergency. North Carolina has been under a state of emergency since March 10th of 2020. That state of emergency ends today. We've been under a state of emergency long after other states lifted theirs, in part because State Health Secretary Cody Kinsley said the current state law did not give them the flexibility they needed. Lawmakers responded by tweaking the policy in their recently passed budget, opening the door for the state of emergency to expire. Finally, we head to Chatham County, where the electric vehicle company VinFast recently took journalists to their Vietnam plant for a preview of what may be coming to Chatham in the next few years. Ben Rappaport of the Chatham News and Record was among them, and he spoke with 97.9 The Hill after his return.
For one, this plant is going to be twice the size of the plant in Vietnam, which is just, it was really hard to wrap my head around. Because, you know, we were taking a tram from place to place inside this plant in Vietnam, and it felt just really, really big. And I really think the tour, VinFast was trying to impress porters and media people and their business partners that were all part of this tour. And I think one of the things that it kind of became a little difficult to be critical and think about, well, what is it that they're showing us and what are they not showing us on this tour? And I think to me, one of the big questions that stood out is just how can we trust that what they're showing us here is going to transfer over to an American market? And is it? You know, it's no secret that they have a lot of money backing them, and there's a lot of big minds behind this project, both locally and across the country. But, you know, breaking into an American car market where not a lot of people know the VinFast name, especially outside of maybe this area. I don't know. It's just a big question mark for me of how successful they will be in Chatham County and across the U.S. I think it's no secret that it's going to change the state and change definitely Chatham County. I think the question still lies in when that change comes and how big of a change we're going to see.
That's Ben Rappaport speaking there. You can visit our website, chapelboro.com, to get more from the Chatham News and Record, including a new look into a new political organization in Siler City whose plans remain unclear. 6:22, your time now. Time for sports, brought to you this hour by Olmaz Jewelers. We are just a few days away from the official start of the fall sports season at UNC. Carolina women's soccer knocked off third-ranked BYU 2-0 in a preseason exhibition on Saturday. Tori Della Peruta and Avery Patterson got the goals as the 10th-ranked Tar Heels won their final tune-up before hosting number 11 Tennessee in their season opener this Thursday. One Tar Heel just got an individual honor as well. Junior midfielder Sam Mies has been named a player to watch by the United Soccer Coaches. Teammate Macy Bell got the same honor last week. UNC men's soccer takes the field today. They're hosting Mount Olive for a preseason exhibition tonight at 7:30. Over to football now, where the Tar Heels got some bad news, unfortunately. Senior running back British Brooks is out for the season after suffering a lower body injury during practice. Brooks had been hoping to build on his success at the end of last season. He'd already been named to the watch list for the Doak Walker Award as the nation's top running back. Better news, though, for some current and former Tar Heels at the quarterback position. He hasn't even secured the starting job officially yet, but Athlon Sports just named freshman Drake May as one of their top 50 breakout players for 2022. Meanwhile, in the pros, an impressive debut for Sam Howell, who ran for two TDs and threw for a two-point conversion in Washington's preseason game against Carolina on Saturday. The Panthers still won the game, though, 23-21. And in baseball, the Durham Bulls beat Jacksonville last night 11-8, wrapping up their home series with 5 wins and only 1 defeat. The Bulls are back on the road this week at Norfolk starting tomorrow at 6:35. Head to our website, chapelboro.com, for more sports news, including the full schedule for this year's UNC men's golf season, which starts Labor Day weekend with the Fighting Irish Classic at Notre Dame. 5 Tar Heel men's golfers are in action this week, too, playing in the U.S. Amateur in New Jersey starting today. So good luck to Ryan Burnett, Austin Greaser, Dylan Menante, Peter Fountain, and David Ford.